mostly tell, thank you, tell Destiny's story. So many of you know we had a daughter, February 18th. Just give me a moment here. My printer wasn't cooperating with me today, so. Okay. I'm just going to tell her story, really. And there we go. Perfect. All right. If you can, though, turn with me to 1 Timothy 1:18. We will do some scripture. First Timothy chapter 1. One Tim 1, verse 18. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, following what? The prophecies. By following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. And really, if anything, this story I'm about to share, we're committing our daughter to the Lord, but this story is not just my story. This story is our story. This is a faith journey of how one word from God, I've heard Pastor Ed say it a million times, one word from God changes everything. And you walk with that word, and there are so many things thrown at you that are contrary to that word, but you hold on to that word, and you declare that word, and you watch how things fall into place all around you. You watch how that word even shifts your circumstance and your experience. So, one word from God. I just want to give you a little bit of background. We have two daughters, if you don't know us. Becky, come on up. This is my wife, Becky. I'm going to have her share our word, because she had a dream. In a minute, you can sit there if you want. We have two daughters. Our first is Hannah Grace. She's almost 20 months. And Hannah was born July 26, 2011. And she was born via C-section. Now, I don't want to highlight the fact that she was born via C-section, but that was a real important part of our journey and our story. We had wanted always really to have a natural birth. And so my wife, Becky, you know, she did her research and we went in and we had an awesome experience. 20 plus hours in labor. And it ended in a C-section. And just to give a little details, you know, they had done some ultrasounds and said, hey, you know, we think she's going to be really big, like 9.5 pounds, maybe 10 pounds. And so they wanted to induce us, and we had asked for extra time, give us a few more days. You know, they wanted to induce us like the day before our due date. I'm like, let's at least wait for the due date. And, you know, they gave us a few days, and we waited. And she didn't come in that time, and so we agreed, okay, we'll go in and get induced. And we got induced, and it ended after 20-plus hours in labor. No drugs. She's awesome. Strong woman. We ended in having to have a C-section. And, you know, the Lord had to work through some issues there, you know, just of disappointment. We built up so hard for this and prayed and believed, and then it came to this, and we're like, oh, you know, that's disappointing. But I tell you what, once we saw her face, it's like all the disappointment melts away, and, you know, I have so many awesome stories. Like, I remember we were in the hospital for like a week and didn't plan on being there that long, so I had to go home and take care of some stuff. Like, we had some issues with our basement, and I wanted to mow the lawn. And anyway, I'm driving home, and I'm just daydreaming about my daughter, and I'm finding myself not paying attention to the road and just thinking about, if I love her that much that my mind is just consumed with thoughts of her and her face, how much more does our Father think of us? So that's just a little side note. So that was Hannah Grace's story, just a small part of his story. But then about 9 months later, we found ourselves in a big transition moment. Becky had felt for some time, she'd always felt really that being a stay-at-home mom was more her calling than anything else. And so She'd been working as a nanny, and you know, it was neat because she could bring Hannah with her, and it worked out pretty good for a while. But she really felt like, you know what, I think it's time to put that down and go home. And being the man of God and faithful, full of faith that I am, you know, I'm like, well, let's pray about it. And sometimes prayer is like the opposite of faith, because you like pray long enough, I'm hoping she's going to forget about it and let it go. But no, God like confirmed it, and it's like, okay, now's the time. So we made that transition really about a year ago, around April of last year, April, May. And then pretty soon after, May 25th, we found out we were pregnant again. It's like, oh, so we've lost a substantial amount of income, and now we're going to have another baby. So to be honest, when I first found out, to say I was like really excited would be a lie. Like, I had to repent, actually. You know, after finding out, I was kind of like, ah, scared. And but I had to repent of that. And so now we're going to have another baby, and we're preparing for that. This is May 25th of last year. So having had a C-section, I give you a little education. I don't know if, like, you know, in this country, like, for people who have a C-section, like, less than 10% after having a C-section actually go on to have, like, a natural birth. And that's not necessarily because they don't have a good shot at it, but a lot just don't try. And it's really hard, actually, in our nation to get that. A lot of hospitals won't do it. A lot of doctors won't do it. Insurance companies won't cover it. And it's crazy to me because, like, all you're trying to do is, like, have your baby the way God made you to have it. And nothing against, you know, anybody who's had multiple C-sections. I don't want any guilt or condemnation in this room, but we just felt like, you know, God made our body to do this, and C-section or not, we can have like a baby like the way he made us to have it. So that's what we were going for. And we were looking into our options and praying, and she'd met with doctors. And after just a lot of prayer and research, we just decided our best option for having a natural birth was to have our baby at home with a midwife, a professional midwife. And for some of you, that may sound insane. Some of you are like, oh, no problem, you know. But for us, we just felt like that was the safest, best place for us, where there wouldn't be pressure, where they wouldn't be wanting to, you know, induce us or cut us open because things weren't moving along quick enough. So that's what we decided to do. And we got an awesome midwife. She was a Christian and prayed with us. So cool. So there's our background leading up. Now, November 17th, 2012, Becky's about 29 weeks pregnant. So come on up, honey. And she had a dream. And this dream really set the tone for what, about 3 months of, yeah, for the rest of the pregnancy up to the birth, and really is kind of where it brings us all in. So go ahead and share the dream, honey.
Okay, well, many of you have heard this dream, but I'll share it for those who haven't. Just so you know, we didn't know what we were having, and we weren't planning on finding out, and we didn't until she was born. But the girl name that we had picked out, if we had a girl, was Destiny Joy. So what date did you say it was? So November 17th rolls around, and I have a dream. And in the dream, I'm at home, and I'm changing Hannah's diaper, and all of a sudden, I just knew the baby was coming. And so I like, yell for Josh, and I'm like, Josh, I need help. And he came, and he caught the baby, and I had, like, no labor, and I was really believing for that part, but that part didn't happen in real life. But so anyway, we had the baby in the dream, and it was a girl. And we were trying to figure out what to name her, and I said, what about Victoria? Which was just really random, because that wasn't even on our radar. And then in the dream I say, I feel like it's supposed to be a V name, what about Veronica? And then the dream kind of fast forwards to about 9 months to a year later, and both girls are here, actually, and I'm chasing them around, and I'm calling the youngest Destiny. And so I told the dream to a friend afterward, and she was like, well, look up what the names mean. And of course, Victoria meant victory. That kind of makes sense. But Veronica meant one who brings victory, or bringer of victory. And so thus, we were on this victory theme throughout the whole pregnancy. So, yeah.
That's great. So if you want to turn here, you can. Isaiah 8:18, and this scripture really is kind of the theme, I think, for what destiny has been for us, and I really believe for this movement. Isaiah declares, and many of you have probably heard this verse, he says, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion." So Isaiah says, me and the children, my sons and daughters that the Lord has given me, we're for signs and wonders for Israel. And what that means is, if you read Isaiah 8, God actually instructs Isaiah to name his children certain names based on how he felt about Israel, what he was doing with Israel, what he was going to do. So their names literally declared and prophesied God's intents and wills. And I just want to declare over each one of you that you are a sign and a wonder of what God is doing. And we all talk about signs of the times, and usually a lot of times it's in a negative context, like, oh, the economy's going down. It's a sign of the times. Oh, this is happening in government. It's a sign of the times. No, you're a sign of the times. You are a sign and a wonder of what God is doing. And your life is meant to declare and prophesy. And God would do this with prophets, the sons of prophets, and even just ordinary people like you and me. God would raise them up, and they would literally be a sign and a wonder of what God was doing. And he says that in his scripture, Amos 3:7, that the Lord does nothing without first declaring it to his servants, the prophets. And it's not just for capital P prophets. God always declares something to a man or a woman before he does it in the earth. And our job is to listen and to come into agreement with the word that God spoke and to begin to live it out in such a way that it prophesies and declares to the next generation. That's exactly what Noah did. God said, rain is coming, a flood is coming, build an ark. Now, up to this time, there'd never been any rain. People didn't know what a flood was. And for 100+ years, Noah's building an ark, and his life is prophesying with every hammer blow, rain is coming, get ready, get on the ark. And nobody really listened, but just the same, there was a witness. And the Lord will do that everywhere. He'll raise up people, and that's you and me. I had a season where I saw 818 everywhere, on clocks, you know, bills, 818, 818, 818. And I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? And, you know, this is one of the scriptures. There's actually a couple, but this is one of the scriptures the Lord highlighted to me, especially with Destiny's life, that she would be a sign and a wonder. And the dream is really what clued us into that. So signs and wonders. So what is she a sign and a wonder of? Well, we had this word, you know, victory. You know, Victoria, she's victory. Veronica, she's one who brings victory. And then there was destiny in there too, that she had a victorious destiny. And that's God's word over each one of us. He's placed seeds of destiny. He's deposited in each one of us. And the outcome is victory, because greater is he that is in us. If we're willing to cultivate those seeds of destiny he's placed within us, the outcome will be victory. All we have to do is not quit. It's pretty easy on our part. It's hard, but it's easy. It's simple, but it's difficult. Because there's so many times you want to quit, but you just keep cultivating that word. You keep focusing your attention and your mind on what the Lord said and declaring what he said, no matter what other voices are around you. So just like any great prophetic word that you get, there's usually a test that comes that tests your faith in that word. Yeah. And our test came with our first ultrasound. We were only going to have one ultrasound, and we had it at 32 weeks. At 32 weeks, just a few weeks later, when we had the ultrasound, baby was in a breech position. And that wasn't a huge deal at that point. You know, she's still small. She's got a lot of room. Now, mind you, we still didn't know the gender, but we kind of had a hunch based on the dream that it was a girl. 32 weeks pregnant, she's breech. We're like, oh, we got plenty of time. Time kind of progresses on. We're at 34, 35, 36, 37 weeks, right? Baby's still breech. Now, we didn't have any ultrasounds, but the midwife could feel that she was still breech. And we're like, okay, running out of room, running out of time, we need baby to flip. And many of you guys prayed with us. We prayed, I think, Sunday. Some of you came around us, and thank you, because the Lord answered your prayers. So we prayed Sunday. That was January 6th. You guys came around us and declared prophetically over us, and So we were in agreement, and we were just, Becky was getting in this breech tilt position every day, and I was just, you know, I didn't care if I looked stupid. I'm like, flip, baby, victory. The Lord said victory. It's time to flip. And that's what I did. You know, like, it may seem stupid to us, but the facts were she was breech. And if she didn't flip, something, we're probably going to go in for another C-section. But the reality was, God's word was victory. And to me, victory was, this baby's coming out with no intervention of man. Man's not going to have to go in and swoop her out, but this baby's coming out. So I would just be like, victory. And the other word I would declare is redemption. Victory, redemption from the past disappointments that we had with having a C-section. There's going to be redemption and victory. And so I just declare that over the baby and say, flip, baby, it's time to flip. So
I think you're supposed to declare that over us.
Okay.
Redemption.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you wanted me to declare them to flip or. All right, yep. Yep, so right now we just declare over everyone here redemption and victory. Redemption and victory. That you'll not be defined by past seasons of your life where you've had disappointment and trauma, that you have an appointed time and an appointed place, and the Lord said, victory is your destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. So that was Sunday. You guys were praying with us and agreeing with us, and we were in total agreement and believing. Monday, next day, my wife gets a call from our midwife, which, by the way, a very godly woman. But at her appointment, when she's like, yeah, I think baby's breech, she had noticed something that she didn't really tell us about, but she had kind of done her research. She saw a movement in Becky's belly that kind of concerned her, but she didn't want to alarm us. But she called us Monday, and she said, yeah, I really think you need to go in for another ultrasound, and I'm thinking you're going to have this baby at the hospital because I think your baby is having seizures inside your uterus. And it's like, okay, one minute we're believing for baby to flip, and the next minute it's like, oh, yeah, your baby's having seizures. And it's like, oh, believing, oh, crushing news. But you know what? We were just like, Lord, you said victory, and I'm just believing this is either nothing, and it's just going to stay nothing, or even if it's something, you're going to heal this baby right now, or when she comes out, however you want to do it. This baby's fine. And that's what I felt like. The Lord was just saying, this baby's fine. This baby's fine. And so we just believed and believed. Tuesday, we had a consultation with Kate. So the next day, our midwife, we had a consultation with her. And so still believing for baby to flip. And she's like, yeah, I really think it's seizures. We'll find out when we go get a more extensive ultrasound. So, okay, well, can we check and see if baby flipped? And she's like, sure, yeah. And she feels around. She's like, yeah, baby's still breech. Now, I have to say this. I think this is, I purposely fasted that day. And not that fasting earns anything, but I wanted to be especially sensitive to what God was saying when we went in for that appointment. Because even though she's a Christian, and we believed absolutely she's a faith-filled woman, and we trusted her. We felt like God set her up in our life. I wanted to be more moved by what God said than by what she said. And that's an important key. Like when you, whether it's a doctor's appointment or, you know, anything in life, when you follow a dream or something that God's given you, there's always going to be a voice, even well-intentioned, good people that God's put in your life that may say something contrary to that word and contrary. And so I wanted to be more sensitive to God's voice than I was to any other voice. So I had purposely fasted that day and just was like, you know, Holy Spirit, speak to us. You know, I want to hear what you're saying more than anything else. So we went into that appointment. It wasn't the greatest news, but, you know, we even prayed together. We prayed. So that was Tuesday. And we went in for a second ultrasound Thursday. So that morning at like 3:30 in the morning on Thursday, Becky wakes up and she's like, Josh, I think I'm having contractions. And I'm like, oh no, we need this baby to flip. So eventually things kind of calm down. She's like, oh, I think it's okay. Fall asleep, wake up the next day. We go in for the ultrasound. And I'm nervous, but there's still, you know, a piece, you know. So we get into there in that room, and our midwife came with us to the appointment. And first thing we find out immediately, Baby flipped. And that's what happened, actually. At 3:30 in the morning, when Becky woke up, what she thought was contractions was the baby flipping. So she waited till the last minute, but you know, God does it sometimes, just to like, do you trust me? And so she flipped last minute. And then the very next thing we found out is what we thought was seizures was actually her just practice breathing. Babies will actually breathe in small amounts of amniotic fluid and just pee it out. And that's awesome, actually very healthy thing. And so we're like, okay, we have a really healthy baby. And she flipped. But the really interesting thing, now this goes back to the dream. You remember Becky had that dream. Should we name her Victoria or Veronica? I just feel like it's supposed to be a V name. So remember that. We're talking about the position of the baby. And our midwife was there, and she's kind of explaining all the technical terms to us. And she's like, well, you know, when baby was breech, you know, like the butt was down here, and the head was here, and the feet were here. And she's like, now it's just reverse. You've got, you know, head down here, back, here's the butt, and the feet are down here. And Becky's like, oh, so baby's been in a V shape all this time. And I just blurted out, it's supposed to be a V name. And we all just looked at each other, because Kate, our midwife, was a Christian. We shared the dream with her, and we're like, the dream. It's supposed to be a V name. So, like, we walked through that test, and God was so faithful. Even though we were scared, we just kept declaring that word, and he was so faithful. And then he confirmed it, just took it up another level. So Becky's like 37 weeks pregnant at this time. And in the meantime, we start getting other signs. And Pastor Ed, I might have you come up to share some of this stuff, because really, this dream and then this whole confirmation with the baby being in a V shape inside of Becky's belly was like, really went along with words that you'd been declaring from a vision like 3 years ago about, 3 years ago this time. So if you would share the vision and like the arrowhead and just take it away.
And just quickly before it goes off again, do you see what that is? I took my kids sledding because I forget what day it was, the big snowstorm. They didn't have, and we're at McDonald's right down the block here, and I look, I'm like, what is that a V in the sky? You see that? Am I crazy? And we made the V here, didn't we, about the dream I'm about to share. And that, you know where that V is as we were going down Bristol Road? It's right outside this window. I know, we're crazy, but it's fun to be crazy for God. Woo! I had a dream. I went somewhere in the night. I didn't have a dream. I had a vision. And it was about probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I was marching to a war drum, kind of like Alyssa plays. But it was authoritative. And I was marching. And all these demonic, like, beings were coming at me, and I was like freaking out. I was panicking. I was in panic. And all of a sudden it was like the commander in chief said, look up. And I looked up above that which was coming against me, and I could see the presence of the Lord in a distance. And as I was marching, I knew I was marching to the presence, and I was marching to this war sound. To this, but I felt all alone. You ever feel alone in what God's given you? You feel like you're crazy, you know, you feel like, what am I doing? And the Lord said, and again, the commander, and she said, look back. And I looked back. And I'm telling you, as far as the eye could see, it was myriads upon myriads, but it was in perfect V shape. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, like a perfect V, like an arrowhead. And, I mean, it was as far as the eye could see, and everyone was, no one was looking at the person in front of them. No one was looking at who was at front. They were looking at the presence of the Lord. And we came to a barrier. We came to a blockade. And I knew it was going to be like a resistant point, but we broke through this barrier, and it was like a wind picked us up, and we were on the sea of glass. And I woke up. I came back from wherever I was. And the Lord says that you're going into throne. I was on that sea of glass with the throne room, the myriads of angels, the worship of the 24 elders, the four living creatures. I mean, and I came back, and the Lord says, you're breaking through into throne room worship. That once again, that my presence will come into the midst of my people, that the spirit of the fear of the Lord will come into the midst of my people, that none will dare join you, but many will be added to your numbers, Acts chapter 5. And that's that the Lord's going to, we're going to break through. It's what I call V companies. That we break through in the presence worship that releases the presence of the Lord over regions. That's what we're breaking into. And the Lord confirmed that through a national and international prophet, Chuck Pierce, if you've ever heard of him, out of a crowd, and I won't tell it because it'll take too long, and I don't want to take away from their story, but the Lord had him, he just 2 days before that got a silver arrowhead, and the Lord told me to wear it today for tonight. And he got it prophetically that this American, this Native Indian woman says, this is flint for the future. And this will release the fire throughout Michigan. And he didn't want to give it up. And he gave it up to me that night. He heard I was from Flint. And he was saying that this is the year for Flint. This is the year for breakthrough in Flint. And so that all that, that's the short version to say the Lord has his V company that will bring breakthrough in regions, not just Flint, but in regions, and we won't talk about that probably tonight, but the Lord is bringing you in your appointed place for victory, and that's key.
I think that the timeline on all this is important. So you had that dream, you said 4 or 5 years ago. Do you remember? I mean, I remember you shared it in December, because we had just moved into this building. So that was like 3+ years ago. But when you went and Chuck Pierce gave you the arrowhead, that was in January. Do you remember?
113.
Okay. Because this all happened to us January 6th with the whole finding out she's in a V shape. And then you get the arrowhead 113. So the timeline on all this is important because God raises up a sign and a wonder. And it just, the timeline matched so well that this is all happening at the same time that even her life and position in the womb is declaring what God is doing, raising up this V company, this V formation, and it's all about breakthrough. So during this time leading up to this, you know, you're on this high of just like, God's speaking, he's doing something awesome. So I was starting to see numbers, and if numbers freak you out, get over it, because God really likes numbers. Like, if you read the Bible, like, God really likes 12 a lot. He likes 7 a whole lot. Just get over it. Numbers, God speaks through numbers. And, you know, he'll speak to you through the back of somebody's license plate. He'll speak to you through the digital clock. I don't know what we did before digital clocks, because, like, the digital clock speaks to me all the time. I mean, it's God. But and, you know, I have receipts. God speaks in numbers. So during this season, you know, December, January, February, I was seeing the number 26 or hearing it. It would come up in conversation all the time. And there'd just be random ways. Like, somebody would be 26 years old. Somebody would say, turn to Psalm 126. And it would just pop up, 26, 26, 26, 26. I'm like, okay, all right. So I come to find out, and I you had mentioned this, that 26 is actually the numerical value of God's name, Yahweh. So if you add up the four letters, Yod, He, Vav, He, together, they all have numeric values. It adds up to 26. And I've come to, when I see 26, what I see, it's like God putting his signature or his stamp on something. So it speaks to me of the person of God, but it also speaks of God's sovereignty, that he's doing something sovereign and supernatural. It's not natural, it's supernatural. So when I saw 26 over and over again, that's what I came to understand it at. At first, I thought it might be the date our daughter would be born, but January 26th passed, and I'm like, well, we're definitely having this baby February 26th. So, although we came close. So I saw 26 constantly, 26, 26, and then I started seeing either 13 or 213. Now, I don't have to tell you that 2 times 13 equals 26, so there's like something kind of neat there. But when I see 213, I think of Micah 213. So who doesn't know Micah 213? That's the V.
That's the V.
That's the V.
That's the whole word.
That's right. Micah 213 The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord at their head. Now, you can interpret it this different way. Some people have interpreted the breaker as John the Baptist speaking of that spirit of Elijah that broke open a way and prepared a way for the Lord's first coming. And there's a sense in which we are carrying that spirit of Elijah now preparing for his second coming. And so just like V formations, in fact, somebody pulled up on his iPhone that there used to be, what do they call them, V Corps, that the United States, V Corps, that the United States Army used to do this thing called V Corps, and if you've heard of like armies like the beaches of Normandy and the Battle of the Bulge, they would use these V formations to break open a way, and it was so successful. The Pentagon is actually kind of brought up in that where it's kind of like five triangles all come together, five or six, and they use that as their symbol for the V Corps. So that's V Corps, and so the Lord's raising up companies like that, where we break open a way. Now, we take the brunt of the hit, and it's not easy because there's resistance, and you're a forerunner, and you're preparing the way, and some people think you're crazy, but you go through, and you break open that way for the Lord, and that's what the Lord is raising up in Flint, even right now. So I would see 13, 213, 26, constantly. So 26, God is doing a supernatural, sovereign move. 2:13, he's breaking open a way with a people. So, also during that season, I stumbled across this in my, I have this One New Man Bible. It's like Jewish roots. And I'm like on the back page, which is just like a glossary. And I just stumbled on this. So, we have our dream with the V. And I just see in the back of this, in this glossary, it has just kind of a list of stuff. And it says, Vav, it's a Hebrew letter, it's the sixth Hebrew letter of the alphabet, is the Hebrew equivalent of a V. So like it makes a V sound, like our alphabet, we have the letter V, they have the letter Vav, and it makes a V sound. I'm like, well, I know God's language is Hebrew, totally, and like he's going to speak through this somehow. So I have this book called Getting Started in Hebrew, and I'm like, you know what? I've never really gotten too much into this thing, and let's see what it has to say. So they go through all 22 letters, or 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And wouldn't you know, I mean, just like God, this is so awesome. So you go in, you turn the page, and for each letter it gives you the sound it makes, related words, what looks like it, and then some like interesting factoids. So I get to Vav, turn the page, and it says sound, V, as in victor. Now, our child looks like a V in our belly, and we had this dream about naming her Victoria. Now, like, what are the odds, like, of all the V words they could choose, like vehicle or I don't even know. They just picked Victor. It just, like, I want to one day do, like, the statistical probability of all these things lining up because it's so God. It's, like, not just, like, oh, well, that could have been, yeah, that could have happened. No, it's God. So that got me kind of excited. But this got me really excited. I'm reading more information about Vav. And did you know that Vav is the center letter of the Torah? So who knows what the Torah is? It's not just the whole Bible. It's the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Vav is found in the center of the Torah. So if you were to lay out the letters and somebody took the time, some scholarly man or woman took the time to count and find the very center letter of the Torah, and it's a Vav. Now, that was kind of neat, and if you've actually got, like, an original Torah scroll, like, made, well, not original, but if you've got, like, a genuine Torah scroll, that Vav will be enlarged because it's the center one, bigger than normal. But the thing that threw me for a loop is, it's in Leviticus 11:42. Guess what word this V, Vav, is found in? Belly. My wife has a V-shaped child in her belly. And in the center of the Torah, there's a V in the word belly. I ran out and showed this to my wife. Because at this point, we were getting to be post-date, which, you know, we already had a previous C-section, and now we're going over. And when we had talked with doctors in this area, we had one doctor we met with said, I will perform, you know, I'll let you try for it, and this is funny. We were trying for a V-back, is what they call it. It's called vaginal birth after cesarean, but it's called a VBAC. I'm like, this is so funny. VVV everywhere. So I show this to my wife, and you know, we were getting a little discouraged at this point, kind of in a low moment. I'm like, honey, it's so God, you know, we can wait. This baby's going to come, and it's going to bring victory. And when I saw 1142, this is just kind of a side note, I felt like God was saying it's going to be an 11th hour victory in the 42nd week. And I'm like, God, I don't want to hear that. Because I think we were like almost 41 weeks at this point. No, God, this baby's coming soon. But he said 11th hour victory in the 42nd week. So again, our faith is being tested. Our first test was fear of man, fear of what could happen. Our second test, more fear, but is waiting for the promise when we're waiting long. So 41 weeks, 42 weeks, and I had this whole 1142 victory in the belly thing, and the only two words I kept declaring, I've already said them, is victory and redemption, victory and redemption. The neat thing about Pastor Ed's arrowhead is it's silver, and silver in the Bible speaks of redemption. So I'm like, victory, redemption, kept speaking this. And I remember one night, just it was another kind of low moment, you know, waiting, you know, and the clock is ticking, you know, our midwife. Most doctors, actually, will risk a woman out at or before 42 weeks. They don't want you going over 41 weeks pregnant. And this might be more information than people want to know, but it's part of the story. They don't really want you going past 41 weeks, but they'll risk you out at 42 and say, you're having a C-section. And we almost hit 43. And the incredible thing is we were still able to have the baby naturally. So I was kind of a low point. I'm like, Lord, you know, would you just speak to us somehow? And I just prayed. I'm like, you know, a dream, whatever, however you want to speak. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. I look over at the clock, and it's 11:42. I'm like, okay, keep going. Victory. So we get to the 42 weeks, and our home birth midwife, Kate, was awesome. She wanted us to go get a biophysical profile because we were so post-date. And basically what that is an extensive ultrasound. They want to make sure baby looks good and everything looks good on the inside. So we're like, okay, we go on for that. That's Friday, February 15th. At this point, we're over 2 weeks, And so they're like, things look pretty good. But your fluid is not dangerously low, but it's getting kind of low, and your placenta is looking aged, and it could eventually shut down, and things could not go well for you. And so they're like, of course, you know, we want you to stay. And the amazing thing is we were at U of M because our midwife loved U of M, and, you know, it was a little bit of a drive, but she's like, they're awesome, best chance you'll ever get for a natural birth if we end up having to go to the hospital, unless it's an emergency, of course. But, you know, that's where you should go if you're going to have this baby. And so we, you know, they're like, kind of like, there's this and this, you know, those seeds of fear kind of being planted. And they said, you know, we want you to stay, but, you know, you make the call. And we said, let us call you back in 24 hours. And if we call you back in 24 hours, will you let us try? Will you let us try to have this baby, or are you just going to want to do surgery? They're like, we will let you try. So we said, okay, well, we want to talk to our midwife. And really what we want to do is pray. So we leave the hospital. We get in the car. And I'm like, honey, before we go anywhere or do anything, we're in the parking lot. And I'm like, let's just pray. And so we're praying. And I kind of was like, this is silly, but let's just open up our Bibles anywhere and just see if God has something to say. So you had a verse from Leviticus. And it basically, the instruction was, don't be like the Egyptians. And we're like, okay, God, don't follow the world system. Don't let, you know, a slave or fear mentality get on us. You know, don't be like the rest of the world. We believe you. And I felt like 2 Samuel 5. And you can turn there if you want. But when I opened up in my One New Man Bible, the heading that I had in the section I was reading was, the Lord brings victory. So we're in the car shouting, victory. I'm like, I don't care what anybody thinks. Victory. And just declaring that word. And that really set the tone for everything that happened. So we're leaving the hospital. And really the point of the story, I'm not going to read it actually, but you can write it down and read it. It's an awesome story. Is David gets anointed king. And twice it says that the Philistines came up against him. And both times what he did was he inquired of the Lord. And the first time God said, do this. But then the second time, David didn't just presume or assume God wanted to do what he did last time, but he inquired of the Lord again. And God said, no, this time I want you to do this. And so the key to victory, I found, is keep inquiring of the Lord. Keep asking, keep listening. You know, you get a prophetic word, and I don't know how many times this has happened. You get a prophetic word, or God gives you a promise, and immediately we kind of go into this mode of, oh, well, God said this, so it's going to go this way, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. We plan it all out in our minds, and then it totally doesn't go the way we thought. But then looking back, we see that really was a word from God. Like, it happened, but it didn't happen the way we thought it would happen. So the key is keep listening. Don't want to draw attention, but thank you, Pastor and Rhonda, for coming. So, as I drew attention to you, we're glad you're here. So the key was to keep listening. So for us, really, having a prior C-section and then wanting to have a natural birth, the hospital really was for us kind of a place of fear. We knew it was kind of the place and point of most resistance, because for whatever reason, and I don't understand it, but if you've had a C-section and you try and have a natural birth, in a lot of hospital settings, everybody's freaked out. Like, they're afraid, like, your stomach's going to explode or something. And, you know, there are risks, and we understood those risks, but we felt like God said victory, and, you know, we feel like He made Becky's body to have a baby naturally, so that's what we were going to do. So when God said victory in 2 Samuel 5, that passage that he highlighted for us, we're like, okay, Lord. And the cool thing was, David didn't run from the Philistines, but it says he went up to the Philistines. He went up to meet the enemy. He went up to the point of resistance, and he inquired of the Lord. And so for us, it was like, okay, God, totally not saying the hospital is the enemy or anything like that. But for us, it was a place of fear, and it was a place where we knew we'd meet some resistance, with whether it was doctors, nurses, or insurance, whatever. And so I felt like God was saying, you know, even if I take you to a place you're afraid to go, I can still bring you victory. Even if I take you to a place where you think that's where the most resistance is going to be, I can still bring you victory. So we ended up going to the hospital. That was Friday night, and then Sunday morning, we went into the hospital. And we got some encouragement along the way, some friends of ours, Denny and Mindy. They're not here, but I don't think they're here. They sent us a text, and Mindy had sent me 1 John 5:4, which is, whatever is born of God, or whoever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. When we stand on God's promises, no matter what it looks like, our faith overcomes the world. So I'm like, okay, more victory. And I appreciated that. Denny and Mindy knew our story, so I'm like, they're trying to encourage us. We appreciated that. And then even Denny, you know, he speaks at a different church every Sunday. And the church that he was at had like a big banner, victory, on the wall. And he texted me the picture. I'm like, okay, Lord, victory. You know, we trust you even here. And then we got some encouragement from the Lord. So let me just kind of set the stage for you. I'm almost done here. We come into this hospital having virtually no prenatal care from them. We've been planning a home birth all this time. We're like, okay, we've had a previous C-section. We'd like to have a natural childbirth. I would like to have the baby vaginally without any drugs. And we needed to be induced, because the problem was Becky wasn't in active labor. So we had been told previously by another doctor, I will not induce you if you've had a C-section, because I'm afraid of that, what that would do to you. I'm afraid of what would happen. And we just thought that's how it went. We thought that door was totally closed. So for us, hospital kind of meant, especially with an induction, you're just getting more surgery. And we knew we wanted to have more children. That was really a big thing for us. And we didn't want to have surgery every time we had a child. So we get in, and it's just crazy the place we thought that was most resistance, God totally went before us. First of all, we come in with this strike 1, 2, and 3 against us, with the C-section being so far overdue and needing to be induced. And it was like, okay, this is not looking good. But then it was just God opened so many doors. First of all, instead of putting us on a rotation with the regular doctors, they have like all these midwives there that just like swoop this up. And we knew they would be patient with us and be willing to try some different things and kind of have a more natural approach. And we're like, that's awesome. And then we asked them if they could give us what they call a tub room. They have tubs because we wanted to be able to labor in the water. If that's weird to you, that's okay. We actually had the baby in the water. It just goes from water to water. And so the room they moved us to was room 917, which is the ninth floor, 17th room. Now, do a little math. Remember, I told you I was seeing 26 everywhere. And 26, to me, because it was the numerical value of God's name, it meant I'm doing something sovereign and supernatural. 9 plus 17 equals 26. Which, by the way, the 818, too, 8 plus 18 equals 26. So I'm like, okay, God, this is sovereign. You're doing this, you know, whether it's in the hospital or not. So time goes on, and they bent over backwards for us. I couldn't believe there was like no resistance. They're like, whatever you want, whatever you want. We'll do this, we'll do that. And they provided us options we didn't even know were available. Like, we'd never heard of things they offered us. And so we had the baby naturally. But before that, you know, Becky's in labor. Things are getting kind of heavier at this point. And where's Mom and Dad? Mom and Dad were out in the waiting room, and I was letting them know kind of how things were progressing and how things were going. I went out to meet them. They had a show on in the waiting room. And what are the odds? This show they're watching, some drama. The main character, whoever the character was in the scene, her name was Victoria, and they say her name while I'm there. I'm like, okay, Victory! It's our daughter's middle name. So Victoria Destiny was born February 18th, 2013 at 11:33 a.m., 8 pounds, 13 ounces. And this is... Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Victoria Destiny? We debated which way it was going to go. And sometimes I still mess it up. Destiny Victoria. I'm looking at all this Victory stuff. After a while, you just confuse them with the dog and the cat, and it's all good. So that was an awesome Victory story. And I can't tell you like how awesome it was to get to see like in our first experience, and again, I treasure both of our daughters and experiences, but in one experience, I'm behind a curtain listening to stuff happening. And this one, I'm like there, I get to cut the cord, I get to hold her in my arms, and she went right to Becky first thing. And we were just like, oh, you did it, Lord. You know, the place where we were most afraid to be, you did it. And, you know, some might say, you know, why did you even bother going the home birth route? You just ended up in the hospital. But if we wouldn't have gone with our midwife, Kate, we would have never gone to U of M. And U of M was awesome. They opened so many doors. And a cool thing, we check out of the hospital the next day. It was so cool to leave the next day instead of being laid up for a week. We leave the next day, and we tried to get out there as soon as we could. But by the time we left, it was like 8 or something at night. And we're pulling out of the hospital, and I turn on the car, and it's 8:18. As we're pulling out, I'm like, sign and a wonder, Lord. So let's bring up, you want to? I will. Yeah, do you want to bring up Destiny, though? I think, so, you know, I get home, you know, I spend a week home with Becky, and then I was at work, and I just, this whole thing about ending up at U of M, of all hospitals, was on my mind, and I'm like, Lord, I just feel like there's something there. Like, why U of M of all hospitals? Why did you end up having us go there? And I know it was the Holy Spirit because I'm not really a U of M fan. So I don't, my parents went to State. And so like, sorry if you're a U of M fan. Like, I just wouldn't think like this. I'm like, why U of M? And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. He's like, what's their fight song? And then all of a sudden I'm like, hail to the victors. I'm like, Lord. You sent us to the place that their fight song is Hail to the Victor. So like from beginning to end, from the dream, November 17th, to when she was born, 3 months later, was that 3 months? Yeah, 3 months later, February 18th, she missed my birthday by one day. All we did was God just said victory, and against, seemed like all odds, we just held on to that. And the Lord brought forth victory. And the whole point is, he tied this whole victory and breakthrough and this V shape, you know, that breaks open the way, he tied it with prophetic words and visions that were already being given. And it all has to do with this region. And the Lord is doing this, and he releases signs and wonders. And, you know, I may be a little bit biased, but she is a beautiful sign and a wonder. And so what we're going to do is we're committing her to the Lord, but really we also want to declare over you guys that her story, our story, is you guys' story. That the Lord is releasing seeds of destiny that he's deposited in every one of us. And if we believe his word, whether it's a promise in his word that he's highlighted to us, or a prophetic word, a dream, or a vision, God speaks in so many different ways. If we believe that and we declare it, no matter what the facts seem to be, he's going to make that a reality. So I give you that, and Pastor Ed, I'll let you take it from here.
Well, we're going to have the family come up. If you want to come up, let's have the family come up, and Pastor Tom and Rhonda, Pastor Tom Matuzel from Riverside Tabernacle, and Pastor Rhonda, and they've been Josh's pastor for his whole life. And so let my wife come on up, and in 1 Samuel 28, Hannah said, "So I've dedicated him," speaking of Samuel, "I've dedicated him as long as he lives to the Lord." And we see in the book of Luke where Mary and Joseph, they bring the baby to the temple. They bring Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord. So this is a biblical act that we're doing here. The Lord even said that the firstborn, and we know that destiny is the secondborn, but every child that opens the womb should be dedicated to the Lord. And that's what they're doing. They're saying, "Lord, we're entrusting Destiny Victoria to you." And so we just want to pray with them. And I want to have Pastor Tom pray first. He's been a spiritual father over them for years, and I have been also. But I want them to pray, and then I'll pray. And we just want to just stretch our hands towards them and just pray over Victoria, our Destiny Victoria.
Excuse me just for a minute. I wasn't expecting to come up and pray over you guys today, so you got me really unprepared. But as I was sitting back there, I'll tell you the picture that came to me. For some reason, it has nothing to do with having a baby, but I thought of the woman who pressed through the crowd to press into Jesus. And we've watched the two of you for all these years, regardless of where the crowd was going or what was the popular thing or what everybody else was doing. I can't think of a second that we didn't know you pressing into Jesus. And when that woman pressed in, all I can think is the King James, and all Rhonda brought was a baby Bible, which doesn't help me. But Jesus said, you know, "Who touched me?" And you know, the reality is that you have touched him. And he realized this. It says in the King James that virtue went out from him. I don't know what that says in the NIV. In the Message, I can only begin to imagine what it says. But virtue, as you've pressed in and you've touched him, his virtue has gone out from him to you. And that this little one gets to be raised in a home of virtue because you have pressed in and you've followed after the Lord with everything in you. It makes this a real easy prayer for us to pray. So, Lord, we thank you now for young people who press in, who aren't swayed by the crowd or the fad or what everybody else is doing, but have resolutely and with abandon and determination have followed after you hard, with everything in them, have been relentless in their pursuit of you. And as a consequence, your virtue has come upon them. Your virtue has gone out to them. Your virtue resides in this home. And that this little one gets to grow up in a home of virtue is one of the very rare and great blessings of life. And so we thank you that she would be enveloped in your virtue from these first breaths until she starts walking and everything before, and for this entire family, that they would continue to be enveloped in your virtue in a world that hardly even recognize it when it's right in front of their face. But thank you for the virtue that's gone out to them, your virtue that holds them. And we thank you for your blessing upon them, this dedication of themselves that they make now. This dedication of themselves they make to you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just once again, we commit, Lord, they commit this beautiful child that you created in the womb. And Lord, I thank you for Destiny Victoria, Lord, that she will be used by you for your eternal purpose, and that she will even utter destiny from her lips and to other people, that she will be used by you to speak your word, that you'll release your voice through her to utter destiny, your destiny in other people. And Lord, we just thank you that she will serve you all the days of her life, all the days, every moment, every breath, that she will serve you with all her heart, all her soul, all her mind, and all her strength. And I thank you for wisdom and revelation, and Josh and Becky, to raise Hannah and to raise Destiny and all the children that you will give them, that they will raise them, that they will be like in Psalm 127:3, arrows in the quiver, arrows, and they will prevail against the enemy, you said in verse 5, in the gate. And Lord, I thank you that they're raising up arrows for the Lord that bring breakthrough wherever they go, Lord. That, Lord, I just thank you for this child. And Lord, I thank you for the signs and wonders that are tied to this child and what you're doing, even in the region. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.